a lot of people aren't aware of Mercy Corps' presence in Edinburgh and our work in like international programming. But yeah, there's a lot of work that Mercy Corps is carrying out with Syrian refugees and with people in Syria. We're reaching 1.7 million people inside Syria with emergency assistance. And then we're also working with Syrian refugees, reaching almost 800,000 people in Jordan, Lebanon, Iraq and Turkey. So yeah, there's a great connection between Edinburgh and the work that's going on worldwide.
Now, when we talk about refugees, we're talking about people who are running away from danger or going in a different direction to where their homes are because their livelihoods or their lives are being threatened. And people like yourself are going in the opposite direction. You're going towards what I would say is danger. What's that like?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And I think a lot of people from home feel like that. Like, why do you do what you do? What draws you to that kind of work? And I think since I've been quite young, I have experienced different countries across the world and really seen the different kinds of lives that people had. And I've had a really strong feeling inside myself that it's really important that we make a personal contribution to something you believe in. And for example, I worked for some time in Africa and really seen the consequences of the Rwandan genocide. And that was the thing that really changed my mind, that I felt like individual people should do what they can to push against injustice in the world, even if that means doing something your family might not be comfortable with or going somewhere that people might not consider to be safe. But Mercy Corps obviously has a lot of safety rules and procedures and protocols in place to keep us, their team, as safe as they can. So it's probably not as dangerous as you might think, but I think there's definitely a draw for some people to do this kind of work.
You just mentioned you were talking more personally almost about how going in that direction of what the public perceive as danger has its various difficulties. What's the biggest difficulty for you? You mentioned your family not necessarily being over the moon about what you do, but obviously you being passionate and that's why you do it. What's the biggest challenge for you?
I think, honestly, one of the biggest challenges is just being far away from the people you care about and your own family, and you miss out on many things that are happening to them. And the feeling like maybe you're causing some worry or concern for the people you care about. So that's probably the biggest concern I have personally, is how what I do affects other people.
Now, when you were talking through some of the things quite generally that you've seen or experienced or things that have inspired you to carry on with this sort of work, I felt quite sad, and it was making me think about how in the news, when I see something that upsets me or makes me feel uncomfortable, I just change the channel. But you are at the centre of the news and you can't change the channel. Mm-hmm. You're living that channel. What's that like?
I think to an extent you develop a kind of coping mechanism where you're living in these places and you hear the stories that people have to tell, and you're very exposed to the lives of people who are suffering terribly. So, for example, I live in Beirut in Lebanon, and one in four people in Lebanon is now a Syrian refugee. And so it's very hard to live there without really every day encountering somebody whose life has been torn apart, is living away from their homes. And so the way I cope with that is really to get interested in people's stories and to understand them as human beings, and not to focus on the trauma that's happened to them necessarily, but focus on the whole picture of their lives. 'Cause everybody has, you know, hope as well as a challenge in their life. And so people are still getting married and they're still having children and they're still living their lives even in the face of terrible situations. And so that really helps me to cope, to cope and focus on the positives in people's lives.
Now, in recent news coverage, we've seen Iraq has featured heavily. That comes after we've seen a lot on Syria, and that's been a crisis that has continued for what seems like ages. Your organisation operates in these areas, and it's unusual in a way, because I would have thought that the situations in those places would mean that there's a lot of people that just wouldn't want you there. But the reason why you're able to be there, I understand, is because you are neutral, and that's what's very special about your organisation. Can you talk to me more about that?
Yeah, I mean, Mercy Corps is an independent humanitarian organisation, and so that means that we don't get involved in politics, we don't get involved in conflict, and we try not to publicly take sides in anything. I mean, of course, you may have personal viewpoints as you work for one of these organisations, but it's important for us that that's a personal viewpoint and doesn't represent the organisation. And so our ability to work in Syria, for example, is really tempered by our ability to demonstrate that we're there to help people. We're not there to take sides in the conflict or to make political judgments. We're there to reach as many people as we can with humanitarian assistance. And that's what's enabled us to be able to expand our program to the extent that it has. So we're reaching, you know, as I said before, over 1.7 million people in Syria. And that wouldn't be possible if we were publicly taking sides in that conflict.
We've talked about the dangers or how you feel or how others feel with you being in situations where I suppose those dangers are a possibility or they're present. Do you ever get scared? Have you ever been scared?
I suppose sometimes. So our programs in Iraq are quite dangerous, I suppose. The areas where we work are quite controlled, and so movements for international staff are very limited. So I used to live in Baghdad, and we never really left the house because of the security constraints on us. So it's not really like being scared, but it's actually a little bit more like being bored. You're kind of constrained in your environment because you're not able to go out and really interact with people. But also you're aware of the fact that it is a dangerous place, and you have that in the back of your mind. But I think like many people who work in more dangerous occupations, it's not something you think about at the front of your mind all the time. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. So
obviously, you can't get political and you don't want to take sides. The coverage that we see in the news, I can't help but think that that almost harms people's perception of a region that by this point they might be getting sick of hearing about or almost feeling like it's a lost cause. And I know that's not how you feel. How much of a challenge is it to get people in Edinburgh, in Scotland, in the UK to feel engaged with that sort of area and want to do more and perhaps donate?
I actually think Scotland is a country full of people that have a great interest in what's happening around the world and are also very giving people. And we were just, Mercy Corps was participating recently in the Just Festival, which was happening at the same time as the Edinburgh Festival. And we found that so many people have an interest in the Middle East and on the work we're doing there, and are keen to help us find a solution, whether that's through donating or engaging in debates with us about what kind of work we should be doing. So of course it's difficult when the news is bombarding us with tales of, you know, misery in the Middle East and Iraq and in Syria. But there's always hope, as we mentioned before, and I think it's also important to support people who are, you know, affected by these crises and give them an opportunity for changing their lives. So that's one of the reasons that we focus on refugees, and in particular we focus on teenager refugees in Jordan and Lebanon, Iraq and Turkey, because we think that those people, about sort of 13 to 18 year old, are really, you know, at a turning point in their lives. And so I think anyone can identify with that. You know, anyone who's had a teenager or knows teenagers can see that they have a lot of opportunity, is also a lot of challenges in their lives. So anyone can understand from Scotland or anywhere that supporting people of that age group is a great opportunity for building a great future for the Middle East.